This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 31, and it can be found on page 1049 in your pew Bibles or on the screens. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Suzanne. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this familiar story wouldn't be too familiar this morning. I pray that you would speak new truths to our hearts and new depths of your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. This story, so well known, Prodigal Son, or Prod, as he's known for short. And often when we're thinking about this story, we think about either the prodigal son or the older brother, which is what I'm going to do a bit later on. But actually, my focus for the talk today is about the loving father, because I think this story reflects something of the heart of God. And on Father's Day, it encourages us as men, especially and as fathers, to be fathers after God's heart. But also, I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to talk about this later, that we are actually, whether we like it or not, spiritual parents, all of us. So we all have a responsibility in how we parent both our own children and other people's children. But can we have the video on? Should be a video next. I hope so. That's the one. Thanks. Turn.
So part of God's story is about Jesus wanting us to know how much God loves us. Sometimes Jesus taught by using parables. A parable is a pretend story that teaches us a lesson. Jesus once told a parable about two brothers and a dad, and it begins like this. This dad had two sons. We call one the older son because he's, well, older. We call the other the prodigal son because he liked to waste money buying things he didn't need. One day, the prodigal son went to his dad and said, "Dad, give me my share of your money." See, he knew when his dad died, he and his brother would split the money. But he didn't want to wait for his dad to get old and sick and die. He wanted money now. You might think most dads would say, "No way!" But his dad actually gave it to him. Kids, remember, this is a parable. I wouldn't try that at home. Anyway, the son took the money and ran away. We don't even know if he said goodbye. And for a while, he bought everything he wanted. He bought stuff for his friends, too. He had so much fun spending money that he never bothered to earn any. Soon, he had nothing left. So now he needed a job to buy food. Problem is, the only job he could find was working for a farmer, feeding pigs. You know, animals that enjoy snorting and rolling around in the blood. And to make matters worse, his friends stopped liking him since he stopped buying them things. Although people who hang around just because you're buying them things are not real friends. Here was the prodigal son, stuck feeding pigs. No friends, no home, and no food. He was so hungry, he wanted to eat the smelly, soggy pig food. He felt pretty sorry he had run away. Have you ever done something and felt sorry about it later? It's not fun to feel that way, is it? Well, one day, the prodigal son remembered how the people who worked for his dad had lots of food to eat. He didn't think his dad would want him back as a son, but maybe he could be a servant in his dad's house. But this idea was risky. He had been so mean to his dad. He had taken money and run away. He'd spent every penny. He had acted like he never wanted to see his dad again. The prodigal son knew he didn't deserve to go home. But if he didn't ask his dad for a new job, he could die. So he decided to go back to his dad's house. Well, while the prodigal son was still pretty far away, his father saw him coming. And guess what? His dad started running to him. Then he hugged his son. And even kissed him. Really? The Bible says that. In fact, he threw the prodigal son a huge welcome home party and even gave him special gifts. Meanwhile, the older brother was out in the fields, working. Kids, remember, this brother had been home the whole time, obeying his dad while his younger brother ran away. So when the older brother found out his dad was throwing a party for his younger brother, he was mad. Really mad. He had never gotten a party. He thought his little brother deserved punishment, not a welcome home celebration. Jesus told this story because sometimes we act like the prodigal son. We do things that make God sad, like how the son took his dad's money and ran away. Other times, we act like the older son. We follow God's rules, but forget how special it is to obey him. Maybe we even want people who disobey to get punished, instead of being excited when they decide to follow God. But Jesus wants us to know that no matter what we do, he loves us. Just like that father. And that's the story of the prodigal son. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. There were two brothers. One loved buying stuff. He asked his dad for money. He ran away. He spent the money. He felt sorry. He went back home. His dad threw him a party. The older brother got mad. The dad loved both sons. And no matter what, God loves us too. And that's a part of God's story.
If you want to. Wonderful, wonderful story which speaks of God's love. And what I want to talk about today is the unconditional love that the Father has for both sons. Both sons. So the first thing is, unconditional love, he gives the son, the younger one, what he shouldn't have. As you've seen there, the younger son should have waited until he died. But this doesn't mean, and I have to say this, it's picked up there, that children can have everything. I actually think that today, being a parent is one of the hardest things in the world. Anyone want to agree with me? Well, that was a big one. And it's so difficult to navigate being a parent in a good way. That's why we need the heart of God to know how to do it properly and to know how to do it well. And children, any children that are here today, forgive me for saying this, but this is the truth. Everything you ask for, you cannot have. You've heard it today on the 21st of June from the Vicar of Trentham. Everything that you want, you cannot have. Why? Because everything you want might not be good for you. And also, your parents may not be able to afford it or buy it. And actually, sometimes parents know better than children. Well done. Thanks, David. Parents know better than children. But here's the thing, children and young people, is that no matter what, your parents love you. No matter what, your parents love you. And the prodigal son was a waster. He wasted all the money. And his dad should have been waiting for him, really angry, to tell him off. But the Bible passage says that when the son was a long way off, that's in the distance, and it's one of the best verses in the Bible, the father saw him. And that suggests to me that the father was looking for him every single day. And he broke the rules and tradition of the day because he had a long skirt on. And he hitched it up and he ran out towards his son. He shouldn't have done that because the son was a waster. He was useless. He was rubbish. But you see, that isn't the heart of God. The father runs out towards him. And the son's trying to give him his rehearsed speech that he's already made. And the father doesn't want to hear his rehearsed speech. Why? Because he loves him. And the Bible says that the father flung his arms around him. I was going to use you, Andy, but the next bit I'm a bit wary about. Because he flung his arms around him, and then he says he started to kiss him. And he didn't stop kissing him. What a sign of overwhelming love. What a sign of forgiveness. What a sign of restoration. What a sign of healing. And I'm going to suggest that after this encounter, and I know it's a parable and it's a story, that the prodigal son, Prod, was never ever the same. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train a child in a way he should go, and he will not depart from it. Training a child is so important. And on this day, for Prod, prodigal, his life would never have been the same. Why? Because he didn't get what he deserved. And I'm going to suggest, the story doesn't tell us, but I'm going to suggest that prodigal son, he had much more compassion than he'd ever had. He had much more forgiveness than he'd ever had. He exercised much more grace than he'd ever had. How do I know that? Because the father did it to him, and he would have learnt it from his father. It's amazing what children and young people pick up from us. From our habits, our mannerisms, watching us. And church people, whether we like it or not, we are spiritual parents and grandparents. And I'm so glad that the young people are in today because they can hear this. Because we are. And we have a responsibility to the young people in our church. I want to do this, but I don't want to embarrass them. Young people, no, I will do it. Young people, just stand up for me, will you? Anyone who's under the age of 20. No, not you, Clive. You're a lie. Now, stand up. Anyone who's under the age of 20, please, just do this for me. Now, the rest of you, just look around, will you? Do you want to bless these young people? You're still looking around. I thought it was just a muted yes. You can sit down. Do we want these young people to go further than we've ever gone? So what are we going to do? We're going to actually invest in them, and I'm going to come on to that in a minute, and how we do it and how we sow into the future, because the legacy we leave is so important. The legacy we leave as church is so important. But here's a little aside. Young people, do me a favour, because you can do this. Just come out the front, will you? You've got permission from me. Come on, just, I know I've got you to stand up. We're just going to, it's off on the hoof. You know what I'm like. Come on. Young people, come on. Anyone under 20? Anyone under 20? Okay, just grab a few flags. What I'd like you to do, this is impromptu, but what I'd like you young people to do is, because you know how to do it far better than us old people, show us how to party. Come on. Just show us how you party, because I've forgotten. It's been so long since I've partied. I just don't know what to do. Now, we haven't got all day, so come on. Do you want me to start off? Come on. Come on, party. Come on. Just anything. That's it. Now, hang on a second. Anyone who's feeling under 20 at heart, I want you to join them. Come on. Come on. Somebody be brave enough. Come on. Come on. Up you go. Show those young ones how to party. Come on, show them how to party. Now, you carry on partying. Because what the Bible, this is really, really important, because what the Bible story says is this. The older brother came along and heard the noise and the commotion of the party. And he was disgusted. He was angry. He was cross. Why? Because this lot were celebrating, having a party. Like rent a crowd. They were having a party. Why? Because the younger brother had come home. He'd been lost and he'd been found, and they were rejoicing. And it was wonderful. And they were really whooping it up. But you lot, just for a minute, because I'm sure you'd never ever do this, but you can play the part of the older brother, because you didn't want to get up there and party, so you've got another part to play. So they're having a party. Show me what the older brother's like. No, with a bit more feeling than that. Oh, you're so British. He's behind you. You can sit down. Give him a clap, will you? Well done, young and old.
Older, sorry.
But the older brother, the passage says, he was angry. And why was he angry? Because he'd been around his dad for years. He's worked hard. He'd been faithful. He'd been diligent. He served his father. He'd obeyed his father. But I'm going to suggest this morning, that he'd done all those things. And the one thing that was missing was love. He did everything out of duty. And it is so easy to serve God out of duty rather than love. I'll tell you this, don't do it. We have a loving Heavenly Father. I know what it's like to serve without love. I know. My dad, great man, he's 86. Great man. But when we were growing up, one of my jobs on a Saturday morning was to clean his shoes. And in those days, when you cleaned your dad's shoes, did anyone else do this or just me? Oh, right, a few of you. You did all the families. Weren't you good? I just did my dad's. You got two and six. You got paid. I didn't get paid. But I had to clean those shoes until they sparkled, until you could see your face in them. But then what I used to do is I used to put my dad's shoes on, because I thought my dad was so great and so neat. I wanted to be like my dad. So I was putting his shoes on to grow into his shoes. But you see, my dad, as great as he was, is nothing like my Heavenly Father. My dad, we've done this at the earlier service, so he's my dad. Can you see the family likeness? And my dad, because of his generation, because of all sorts of things, didn't know how to hug. So, whenever I'm meeting my dad tries to do this. I don't want that from my dad. He's my dad. I'm his son. What do I want to do? That's it. He's practiced this. You can sit down. That's exactly what my dad would do. He'd stand like a board and he'd put his head like this. And I don't see my dad for probably 6 months on end, and he still wants to shake my hand. No, you are my dad. You love me, I love you. Forget the cultural rubbish. This is a relationship of love. Sorry, I'm not criticizing my dad. But this is a relationship of love. And we do not serve out of fear. We do not serve out of total stupidity in terms of obedience. We serve God out of love. Because he first loved us. That's the whole story of the prodigal son. And you can hear, you can feel with the older brother, he's angry, he's all the rest of it. And his dad goes out. And the passage says that his dad pleaded with him. This is the dad exercising unconditional love with the stroppy older brother. Begging him to come in. And hear what the older brother says. But when this son of yours... He's not even calling him his brother anymore. He's disowned him. This son of yours squandered your property with prostitute, comes home. You killed the fattened calf. My son, the father says, you're always with me. And every single thing I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. People of God, we need to celebrate God's goodness. Because we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. No point getting jealous of anybody else. No point getting worked up. You know what it's like? Well, I've been in church 10 years. No one's asked me to do anything. These new Christians come along. They do everything. What's that about? Seriously, you tell me. What's that about? Because that has no place in the body of Christ. That attitude has no place in the body of Christ. You want to serve? Come and talk about how you might serve. Don't moan. Don't whinge. It's got no place. We should be celebrating. You know, I said earlier on, and I don't mean this disparagingly at the early service, I'm 50. You know, the trouble with me is I think I'm 28, seriously. And that's the age I am. But I'm not. I'm 58, 59. I haven't got that many years left. That's the truth. But what kind of legacy am I going to leave? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Those young people stood up. They are the church. They're not the future of the church. They're the church. And Jason and Steph have been here 3 years. They're leaving next week and they've sown a legacy and they've made a foundation. And we as a church, we as a leadership team, we as a standing committee, we as a PCC have been praying about what we might do as a church. And we believe that God is asking us to employ somebody full time to be a children and family worker in this church. Why? Because that's the people that God has placed on our heart. That's the people God is sending to us. And here's your responsibility, because I'm going to give you a few things. You won't often hear me speak about money, but I'm going to today. I've been asked by the PCC, that's the church council, to do it, and I'll only do it in the context of serving and something bigger. What we need is your money to make this work, because the PCC, we're stepping out in faith because it's going to be advertised shortly. We're asking for your money, unashamedly. There's bits of paper here, really simple. It says this, I, and then you put your name, would like to pledge however much money a month for the next 3 years, starting the 1st of September 2015. We'd love you to pledge your money to fund this, to sow into the next generation and the next generation. We want them to fly. You might say, well, why do we need a full-time person? Well, in the absence of anybody else, I think we need to pay somebody. Because I don't see a whole load of people rushing forward yet, but I'm going to come on to that in a minute. And we do need to invest. That means paying someone who's got a heart for it, paying someone who's gifted in it, paying someone, it's their total responsibility for children and families. What a blessing that would be to church. What a blessing that would be to the community. You know, in schools, with little stars, with trackers. What a blessing, with baptisms. What a blessing it would be. So we need your money. So I'm suggesting you take one of those. I was going to say something. I just need to be careful. I'll tell you why I'm being careful. Because the Christian thing is, what we do is we take one of these bits of paper and we'll say, we'll pray over it. Well, I think it's a no-brainer. The only prayer you need to pray is how much? I do. I think it's a no-brainer. Because often people say, oh, we'll pray about it. A year later, they're still praying about it, waiting to hear what God's saying. If it's £1 a month, put £1 a month. Put your name on it, fold it up, put it in that offering box. Money. Desperately need it. But here's the thing. We do not want you to rob Peter to pay Paul. Do you understand that? Don't give to the children and families worker at the detriment of giving to the church. No, this is over and above. This is sacrificial, people. Because if you do that, that makes no sense, does it? This has got to be sacrificial. So it's over and above. The second thing, so that's money, the second thing we want you to do is to pray. Pray your socks off, because we are already, that God is preparing the right person to come. The right person who's got it in their heart. When we arrived here, quite a number of people said to us, why did you move from Weston-super-Mare to Stoke-on-Trent? As though Stoke-on-Trent was the worst place on earth. It isn't. But why were people asking us that? Why would we move from the sunny seaside to Stoke-on-Trent? What's the answer? Because of God. God's called us. That's why we're here. It's the first time in 20-odd years we've not lived by the sea. And I miss it. You couldn't be further from the sea than Stoke-on-Trent, could you? But God has called us. And we need to ask you to pray that God would already be speaking to somebody's heart, because we're not employing anybody. We want to employ the right person with the right skills and the right gifts. So we need you to give. We need you to pray. And it's Father's Day. And I'm going to use a phrase which is a manly phrase, but it applies to all of us. God is calling us to man up. Because, okay, we're employing someone, but we need people to work in the basement with young people. We do, and you might be sat there thinking, well, I'm too old for all that. Well, here's the deal. You're not. You might be sat there thinking, I've got a whole list of objections. The Bible is full of people who had a whole list of objections. God took their heart and used it. If you've got a heart for children and young people, that's all you need. You can get trained to do the rest. You might not be the best thing since sliced bread. What a stupid phrase. But if you've got the heart, and I've stood here and I've spoken passionately about my own upbringing and going to church and two women in our church, Mrs. Hudson, and I've said I never knew Mrs. Hudson's first name, and I never will until I get to heaven. When I was growing up in church, she seemed like she was ancient then. And Mrs. Leachman, Jenny Leachman. What would they do? They'd run a youth club on a Thursday night. They didn't have a clue, is the honest truth, how to do it. They even started a five-a-side football team, Mrs. Hudson. She didn't even know anything about football. And I suspect she didn't even know, because it was five-a-side, you had five people on the team. But she was faithful. She taught us things about God. She prayed for us. And I've stood her and said, out of the six of us who went to that youth group, three of us have become full-time ministers. What a strike rate. She was prepared, the two of them were prepared to invest in us. And as I said, they weren't great shakes, and that's not me being horrible to them. And they did seem like they were ancient. But something of them rubbed off on us. That's why we're doing what we're doing. So you're not too old. At all. I popped into the basement on Friday. It was brilliant. Yeah, okay, I felt a little uncomfortable. Because I did. Because the young people, and they're scary, aren't they? Look at them. They're really scary, aren't they? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. And they need mentors. They need encouragers. They need people to pray for them. They need people to bless them. They need people to walk alongside them and to encourage them. They need people who are going to invest in them. That's our responsibility. So if you want to get involved with the youth and young people, if you want to man up, speak to me or Andy afterwards. And I'm going to tell you straight from the front, so don't get it wrong, that when you offer and when you volunteer, it's going to be costly. And I'll tell you why it's going to be costly, because following Christ is costly. So it will be sacrificial, you will be out of your comfort zone, you will find it difficult. But that's life, I'm afraid, and I can't make it any easier for you. But the blessing is wonderful. The blessing is wonderful. I love to see, we love to see, we love to see young people fly. When you come to our house next week, you'll see it on the mantelpiece. There's a plaque that says, parents give children two things. The first is roots, the other is wings. We want to see these young people fly, and we are spiritual parents and grandparents, whether we like it or not. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to do it. Sorry, I'll be brave enough to say it. We've stepped out in faith, and we are going to do this. We are going to do this, and we're going to do it together. We're going to give, we're going to pray, we're going to be sacrificial, we're going to man up, we're going to do it. Why? Because of the Father God's amazing love for us. And we want to share that with everybody that we come in contact with, the children in our church and the children outside and the people outside. So let's do it. Amen. Bless you. Seriously, let's just do it. I don't want to say any more, other than just don't go away from here this morning thinking that was a nice talk and do nothing about it. Honestly, let's do something about it for God's glory and honour. I don't know what we're going to sing, final song, but let's worship. Continue to worship. Sheets are at the back, bits of paper. Take them, fill them in. Do it today. Do it next week. Don't leave it too long. Please stand, will you?